Alrighty, good morning, church family. How are you this morning? Man, yesterday we had the dads and dudes, and congratulations to the dudes and all the dads in the house. Say hoorah, because there's a lot of injuries in our dads. Sometimes the muscles, the bone crushing, especially this morning as we wake up refreshed and renewed this morning. And I know some of you guys are just And so the reason why I didn't play, because I know there's wisdom. Because I know for sure that if I played, I'd be having one of those little walking, and I'd be preaching in a wheelchair. Because just seeing my brothers playing rugby league yesterday, it was hard for me to sit there and not do anything. But I was refereeing. But the hardest part is just make sure it's fair. I don't want to hear the dudes come in and rah, rah, rah in my ears, and then the dads are rah, rah, rah in the other ear. But it was fun. And so, you know, I remember back in the days when I was year 13. And when you become a year 13 student, you become so... You have that leadership, you have that mantle, you have that, yeah, I'm the man. I've been here for 5 years, and I can boss anyone in year 9 to all the way to year 12. And so I remember the time when my mate got his driver's license, and he came and picked me up at about 10:30, and then we cruised around, and then we went to school. So we went to school late. Because I'm year 13, we can go to school anytime. But according to the rules in the school, you have to be there. You have to set the example. So we rocked up in there, and we all, music was pumping. And then we parked up, we walked out. We walked out of the door, we walked. And then a teacher was walking straight toward us. And you know that you're in trouble. But you start trying to keep the calm, he's trying to be... You know, walking, and then he goes, okay, guys, why are you guys late? And then no one said anything. And then I see from the back, oh, sir, the tire, oh, we had my mate, tires was flat, and so I was changing the tire, that's why we were late. I said, he had that little bit of a smirk in his face. So he looked at me, he looked at the boys, okay, boys, I want you guys to back to back, okay, and I want you guys to take, they look at each other, take 4 steps forward. They look at each other, take 4 steps forward. Took this 4 steps forward. And then he said another instruction. Okay, what I'm going to do is that I'm going to come towards you and I'm going to whisper into your ear which wheel that you have that was flat. We'll go to the one dude. The right back. The right front. The back left. And then you know straight away that you're going to get caught. And then straight away, straight to the principal's office. This morning we're going to continue from the best sermon ever. The Sermon on the Mountain is not a description of getting saved. Jesus turned to his disciples and speaking to the followers on that mountain how to live once you are saved. How should you speak? How do you act? How should you behave? What is your character living for Jesus? What would Jesus do? See, we live in a society that teaches only values of getting started or getting ahead. We watch a TV show, Survivor, Amazing Race, that teaches us that it's okay to lie, cheat, and steal as long as we win the game, just like the dudes yesterday. Such an epic game. See, people don't learn that you don't have to work hard in life and to tell the truth as long as you know how to play the game of life. See, our lives as a Christian should have an imprint to those around us. Raise your hands if you have any white clothing. Raise your hand, any white clothing back at home. Okay, you grab all that white clothing and you put it into a big washing machine. Right? You forgot to take a red sock out in one of the pockets. You found that you left an imprint in all your white clothes and that you stained on them. In the same way as we as Christians should sustain those around us. We should leave an imprint in campus ministry. We should leave an imprint in community. We should leave an imprint in Connect Group. We should leave an imprint here. Celebration. We should leave an imprint in Auckland City. We should leave an imprint into this nation. See, Jesus is concerned of our internal obedience. Not so much of external performance. Let me tell you that again. Jesus is concerned of our internal obedience, not so much external performance. That's what he wants, is an internal obedience, drilling down into our hearts. It's not about committing murder, but how it's about hatred in your heart. It's not about committing adultery, but it's about the lust in our hearts. Today we're talking about the words that we speak. Are they truthful or are there errors? And now we're going to look at Matthew 5, chapter 5, verse 33, 37. And it says this, again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you should not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is the footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from the evil. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, that our Holy Spirit is our teacher, our guide, and that you will lead us in all truth as we learn about your word this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen. The title of my sermon this morning is Have You Got Integrity? Yesterday, we talked about have you got game? Dudes got game. But today's message, we're talking about have you got integrity? And so if we look at those verses, the three points that I want to share with you and what Jesus is trying to state to each and every one of us are how to live a life through him. The first one, the problem. There's an issue. There's a problem of finding loopholes and carrying out your vows. In Jesus' days, there were major issues when it comes to integrity. Instead of being honorable, people look for a way to get out during the right thing. It says in 33, again, you have heard that it was said to those of old. And this is where the Pharisees are watching Jesus, what he says. But he was saying that those who are old, you should not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. The traditional teaching that Jesus quoted here was a merge of an idea based on three separate Old Testament scriptures. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 12, it says this: "You should not swear by my name falsely and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord." Numbers 32, it says this: "If a man vows a vow to the Lord or swears an oath to bind himself by a pledge, he shall not break his word. He should do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth." Deuteronomy 23, verses 21, 23, it says this: "If you make a vow to the Lord your God, you shall not delay fulfilling it, for the Lord your God will surely require it of you, and you will be guilty of sin. But if you refrain from vowing, you will not be guilty of sin. You shall be careful to do what has passed your lips, for you have voluntarily vowed to the Lord your God what you have promised with your mouth." It was perfectly acceptable days to make a vow. And as means of guaranteeing that you will keep your word, if you look at the definition of the word oath, it's a solemn promise about your behavior and your actions, meaning your words that you speak is truth. But the things that you need to add, something. You hear a lot of crows say that, "I swear by my grandmother's grave. I swear by my little pinky." We all hear that. I'm telling the truth. I promise. I promise to, I'll be there at discipleship. I promise to be there at that meeting. But then you add, like a lot of our young people that I've been working with, "Honest to who?" You took it to someone. "Honest to you. Honest to who, David?" And then you say, "Honest to G-O-D. Honest to who, sign? Honest to the B-I-B-L-E. Honest to my mother's grave." So you add those, you add those statements into your word to say that you're telling the truth. Your word is your bond. Why? Because your word reflects integrity. However, people would do is to make a vow and not use the Lord's name to verify it. The idea being that as long as you didn't make your vow in the Lord's name, you weren't required to keep it. If you don't use the Lord's name, you don't know if it's a lie or the truth. But if you add the Lord's name, there's heaviness, there's doubt, a debt, that you have to fulfill that promise. So when you look at the oath in today's world, you talk about in the courts, "I swear to tell the truth, nothing but the truth, to help my God, to help me God." Contracts, a dispute between one person and another, you sign a contract. I remember the day that I got married. It is the most beautiful day in the world. Yeah. And when I say, "I, Infe, take you, Malia, Sulunga Fangalilo Wong Si, to be my wife, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, till death do us part, according to God's holy law. In the presence of God, I make this vow." You know, the funny thing is, on that day, it was such a beautiful day. And your honeymoon, you just cherish your wife. And after 6 months, oh, someone's laughing. Because the truth, after the 6 month, then you start to see the other kind of attitude, either from me or from her, from my wife. And I remember the time last year, that I was playing the dads and dudes, and I told my wife that I was going to play. Okay, go play. So I went and played, and then on that day, I came back. I couldn't steer the wheel. I couldn't even press the accelerator, and I came home, and I got out of the door. I actually picked up my leg out, and I picked up my other leg, walked out, and I had a sore back. And I came over to my wife. Love, I cherish you. I was wondering, for Father's Day, tomorrow, if I could get my present now. But I was wondering if you can massage my feet all the way to my head. You know what my wife said? It's your fault. You massage yourself. I didn't tell you to go and play. Through sickness and in health. Amen. Through sickness and in health. God, and I'm sitting in after I had a shower. I couldn't move. I sat in the shower. I actually sat in the shower because I just couldn't stand up. I walked out and then love, you know, that little love, please. And she said, it's your fault. She walked out and I said, God, please speak to her. Because in that vow, in our wedding day, please. And then all of a sudden, you see my wife come and says, okay, what do you need? What do you want? And then I had the nicest sleep in the world. Then you get the whole, I'll be there. Yeah, I'll be there. And then you get the, nah. The very thing about, especially here at our church, we love about discipleship. And when you get a phone call from either Pastor Richard or Pastor Weeyong or Pastor Alfred, I'm busy. Discipleship. I remember the time in discipleship. These guys, man, I was saved, I was redeemed, and discipleship was everything. And I remember talking to a group of guys, and this is my first time of discipleship. Pastor Ken, Pastor Richard was giving me that responsibility to lead a men's group, and then I was talking to the men, guys, we got discipleship on Saturday morning, early Saturday morning. All of them say, yeah, all right, yeah, we'll be there. So what time? Send a text early before. Yes, we will be there. And I prepared everything. Even my test daddy, I want to, son, I'm doing my discipleship. I want to be a good steward of God's word. I'm well prepared and ready to go. I sat there, woke up 5:30 in the morning. 6 o'clock, I sat there. 6:30, I sat there, had my own lunch, just me and the Holy Spirit. And I was just chilling out. And all of a sudden, one by one, people started to make excuses. I can't be there. Actually, the funny thing is, back in those days, they didn't have an ID caller. But then the ID caller started to come out. Well, this person called me up and said, oh, hey, Infe, man, how you doing? I saw I can't make it. Okay, cool, okay. So is everything all right? Yeah, cool. So where you at? I'm in Wellington. Oh, sweet. Oh, Wellington. And I looked at the number. It's 09. Oh, yeah, all righty, yeah. Have time. Say hello to the Prime Minister. Thank you. We see you next week. You hang the phone. When you say something, see, the funny thing is that Pastor Richard, Pastor Richard, oh, is that my time? Oh, no, it isn't. Pastor Richard, man, I love that man. And Pastor Richard gave this to me, and it really worked in me because I'm a person that always lies. The reason why I said to Pastor Richard that this word, I had to get down on my knees and really repent and confess. And I actually find the root, where that root came from. And that root came from from my dad. And so my dad, he can't intimidate me. He's very strict. He can be very threatening. And I always want to go hang out with my boys, and then all of a sudden, I was at the library. Yeah, Dad, I'm at the library. My dad actually went to the library trying to look for me all over the place. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, it starts to build up. And then I was at, oh, I'm going to the library, but really, I was at the clubs. I was hanging out with my friends. I was hanging out with my girlfriends. Girlfriend. Which one? Number one, two, three, four? Oh, no, Thursday night. Just one. Okay. Yeah, I'll keep it real. Yeah, okay then. And so, but then I kind of repented, and I was so good at it. I was so good at it that I can just look at straight in their person's face and say, no, I'll be there. But I wasn't there. I can give all the excuses. Oh, my grandmother passed away. I can't be there. And then you come in the next 6 months. Oh, my grandmother passed away. I can't be there. Oh, what's grandmother's this one? Is this your mom's dad or your mom's mom or whatever? You know what I mean? It's just, it doesn't make sense. Instead of striving to the people of integrity, we are looking for loopholes. We are looking for a way out. Once we say something, if we can't meet that promise, then we're trying to find something else or an excuse of us getting out of it. Instead of being people of integrity, many of us will look and see what we can get away with. Like little children, we see how far we can get away. While it's not legal, if we get caught, we might take that what doesn't belong to us and away by saying that we can't afford it. Another one could be driving on your learner's license. Boom. Driving in your restricted license without a full driver person with you. Faking a want of fitness. I remember back in those days, the scan just came out, and my brother, we couldn't afford the warrant of fitness. So what my brother did is that he scanned the warrant of fitness, went and changed the numbers, print it, put it in there, and then start driving. Yeah. And I thought, yeah, we can make money out of this. But we got caught. But thank God, it was a good officer. They understand. We can be actually going into court for doing that. But let me tell you this. It's not a culturally thing. It's a social economic issue. And that's why I love about what Shandell shared that with me. We're always talking about the whole, it's a culture thing, it's a culture thing. It's not a culture thing. It's a social economical issue. Your upbringing. Your priorities. Miracle offering, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Whatever that you've written on the envelope, we're going to believe. That's the faith that we have in you guys. That's the faith that we have in God to have our own new place. And we believe by faith that he will move mountains on our behalf. Psalms 24, 3 and 5, it says this. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false, and does not swear deceitfully. He will receive blessing from the Lord, and outrighteousness from the God of his salvation. God's desire is our word will mean something. God's desire is what we say, we will do something, and we will follow that up. God wants his people to be people of integrity, honesty, honor, and respectful. Jesus also tells us about the danger. That is the second point. The danger. Making promises you can't keep. 34, 36. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is the footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Okay, we need to talk about the white and black. When I was reading that, what's this? Yeah, gray and black, yeah. Do not make any vows. Jesus points to that a disciple's simple word should be considered as a trustworthy, as a sign of a document or a contract. In other words, it's a yes or a no. Simple as that. Jesus also takes away the loophole by saying, do not say by heaven, because heaven is God's throne. He took that away. Don't swear by heaven, because it's God's throne. Don't swear by the earth, because it's the earth is his footstool. Don't swear by Jerusalem, for Jerusalem is the city of the Most Great High. Not even say by my head, for you can't turn one hair white or black. While Jesus is saying, in spirit, if you make a promise, keep it. And if you don't intend to keep a promise, don't say it. If you intend to keep the promise, follow through. If you don't to keep the promise, don't say it at all. I remember my son, Judea, and I've just started, finished my work as a social worker in the police, now just working on my own business and contract. And during that whole contract, you work so hard. And I remember I always promised my son that I wake up, just like what Weon said yesterday, I wake up early in the morning and I don't see my kids, and I go back home late at night and I don't see my kids. And I remember my son, and I remember one time that I said, son, I'll be there. I want to spend time with you. I'm going to take you to the park. And he took that, and he held it, and he banked it. And you know, life is so busy. Family, work, ministry, other stuff, finances, trying to work out your finances. My son banked that. He remembered the day and the time. And I didn't fulfill that. I didn't fulfill that time with my son. You know, the next word I said that I totally forgot about it, and it was my wife. Praise God for our wives. It was my wife that told me, Lord, did you spend time with Judea? No, I didn't, because I was so busy. You know, the next time I said, son, there was one time that he goes, Dad, I want to go play soccer. Okay, son, I'll play. We're going to set up a time. You know what my son said? Dad, you're always busy. That hurt me. And doing this, the study of the scriptures, your word is your bond. That's the danger. That's the danger. Whatever that it says out of your mouth is going to be the truth. Praise God that I've got a brother in this church that able to step me up and say, Faye, what are you doing? Because sometimes you get caught up with a lot of other stuff. in family, as a man of responsibility. Sometimes that I had that little seed that I haven't yet honored to repent to God. And sometimes it catches up to me. I can say, yeah, I'll do that. And I don't do it because I get stuck into this other issue. Sometimes I have to make an excuse trying to get away from this meeting because I want to hang out with my girls. I want to hang out with my boys. I can't make it to the meeting, and all of a sudden you see it on Facebook story or Instagram story. Hey, what's up? I'm over here in Tauranga. Yeah. It hurts. But that's what Jesus wants. Abraham Lincoln. Love that man. He was riding in a coach with an officer going to Kentucky. And the officer, bless his heart, it was a long journey. The officer said to President Abraham Lincoln, "Sir, you want a drink of whiskey?" "No, no." A few miles ahead, "Sir, you want a cigar?" "No, do not want a cigar." And then Abraham said to the officer, "Let me tell you something. I want to tell you a story. When I was a little kid, and my mom was very sick, and my mom called my name as a son, Abraham, I want to do this to you. I am very sick. I don't know how many days that I'm going to live. But I wanted to tell you this. I don't want you to drink alcohol, and I don't want you to smoke cigar or whatever, right?" And then the officer said to, and then Abraham said to the officer, "And do you want me to break that promise or what my mom, that I keep a promise to?" Just as Jesus' day promise, his promise don't mean much today. We say things like promises were made to be broken. We make commitments we don't keep. We make promises with no intentions of following through. We lack integrity, and it doesn't faze us. Let me tell you this. I want to give you a stats. And this stats is very poorly. 86% said they lied to their parents every day. 75% said they lied to their friends. Turn to your friend next to you and say, "Are you lying to me?" You kind of look into them and goes, are you for real? This is the thing that really strikes me. They found that almost as many Christians steal from work as non-Christians. Boom. That hit me hard. This is the research. Almost as many Christians use company phones for personal long distance as non-Christians. They hit me hard. As a Christian in our workplaces, as a Christian in our family, we're not leaving an imprint to those that is around us. We say to ourselves, "If no one else is doing it, why should I keep my word? Everyone else is cheating on their taxes. Why should I? Everyone else back down on their commitment. Why should I? Everyone lies and steals. Why shouldn't I?" The reason is Jesus saying this, that he has called each and every brothers and sisters in Christ as a high standard. And that's why we're moving into the solution. There's a solution. There's the problem. Then there's the danger. And there's a solution. Standing by your word. 37, let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from the evil. Jesus proves this higher standard that his disciples are called to by saying just a simple yes or no. Turn to your neighbor and say yes. Turn to your other neighbor and say no. That we are a people of integrity. That we will follow through no matter what circumstances that we face. If we book a time for discipleship, let's just book that time. And then we need to share to our brothers and sisters, our family, to our wife, to our friends, no, this is my time of discipleship. Because without discipleship, from my experience, without discipleship, I'm nothing. I can't do it on my own. As a father, as a brother, as a son in the house, I can't do it on my own. I have to set my time and I have to communicate to Pastor Richard. Don't worry about what they say on the other side. But the thing is that you said what you're supposed to say. But the next one, no. You have an authority to say no. Culturally, we're so busy, it's okay to say no. The thing that really hit me, and one of the brothers said that to me, and I want to share it with you guys. Don't be a people pleaser. Be a God pleaser. Turn to your neighbor. I'm a God pleaser. People stretch themselves too thin and break their promise to people simply because they don't know how to say no. Yes, 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 but really it's no, no, no. It's okay to say no. If they're trying to pressure you to say, it's a no. Please respect that. And that's it. Yes, I can do it. But then you leave, you turn your back, I can't do it. I'm guilty of that. I'm guilty. Yes, yes, yes. So busy with this, busy with that. And then next minute you forget. But this one, anything beyond this is from the evil one. Why does Jesus say that anything else is from the evil one? Because to break a promise is a lie. John 8:44. This is where all the Pharisees were hanging out with Jesus. You are of your father's, the devil, and you will is to do your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character. And that's the devil. For he is a liar and the father of liars. If you break a promise and lie, you are no better for the evil one. Jesus is saying, don't put yourself in that position. Say what you mean and keep your word. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we are people of integrity. And I'm talking to the all fathers in the house. My encouragement to you guys, speak truthfully to your wife, and that will reflect your children to speak truth. Your character, your attitude, your behavior. If it's a no, your kids will know it's a no. If it's a yes, they will bank that and they will hold on to it because integrity is everything. John Maxwell says this, and I love this. I commit myself to being a person of character truth, reliability, honesty, and confidentiality will be the pillar of my life. I will treat others as I expect to be treated, and I will live according to the highest standards of integrity among all of life's circumstances. Micah chapter 6, 8. He has told you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. God has called us to be people of integrity. Amen? People who speak the truth in love. That's what discipleship is. If you can't sing up here and worship, and you sing like Happy Feet, then someone's going to tell the truth. Truth's going to hurt you. People who walks the truth in love, people who keeps the truth in love. God has called us to the people of our word. We mean what we say. We stand on what we say. We can be counted on for what we say. God has called each and every one of you, brothers and sisters, boys and girls, to be people of character. Just as he is known for his character, so as his people, his children shall be known for their character. He is known for his love. He is known for his mercy. He is known for his grace. But he's also known as God of truth, honesty, and faithfulness. And I'd like to call upon the keyboard. The problem, the loopholes, the danger, making promises you can't keep, the solution, standing by your word. Let your integrity be your only credibility. Let your integrity be your only credibility. Meaning the way you live your life in such a manner that people believe what you say. I know some of our leaders here, I would totally respect them because they mean what they say. They've got my back and I've got theirs. And if I say no, it's a no. If they say yes, it's a yes because I know. And sometimes, you know, it's life. Yes. But if it's an ongoing thing, you need help. You need to confess that and ask God, God, help me to speak the truth. Help me to speak in love. Fathers, and I know it's Father's Day, are we a man of integrity? We all make mistakes occasionally on a little commitment, it's called life. But if it's more than occasion, it's an ongoing thing. It's a problem according to Jesus. Here's a task that I want to talk to you guys. That I want you guys to go home and talk to someone that you're so close to. And I want that person to answer the truth. And here's a question. Am I a person that follows through to my word? Am I a person that follows through on my word. Here's the thing. When I first got married, first year, second year was hard. And I remember one of the preachers said that to me. And I actually went over to my wife and I sat down with her and I said, love, am I a man of integrity? And I want you to be honest. You know what she said? You know what she said? To tell you the truth with love, no. And I took that at heart. But I know God is working within me, building me to be a character just like Him. And coming to every nation, surrounding myself with great men in my life, they leave an imprint in me that I want to imitate what they were saying, imitate what God's word saying. And that's the question I want to ask you to the person that you're close to. Even the hardest part is asking your children. That's the hardest part. Your integrity be your only credibility. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. I pray upon your children this morning that they honesty constantly upon their lips, Lord, that they will be characterized as people of truth. I pray for their marriages. I pray for their family. I pray for their children. I pray for their workplaces, that they will be people of integrity. I pray to you, Holy Spirit, as they will hear the truth from their close friend. I will pray that you will set them free from lies, confess their sins, and speak only the truth. In the name of Jesus.